Now, let's go back to the emergency department. If you like chocolate, particularly dark chocolate, have I got a cautionary tale for you. It happened over 48 hours in Sydney's Concord Hospital and involved three women with very odd symptoms. Penny Spring was one of the consultant neurologists on call. Welcome to the Health Report, Penny.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us the story. These three women come in over a period of 48 hours.
They were hospitality workers from the same business. The first patient actually presented with a predominantly a vertigo dizziness type presentation, came on quite suddenly, and she was a middle-aged lady with diabetes. The doctors in emergency actually found that she had bilateral nystagmus, which is jerkiness of eye movements.
So when you look to the side, there's a beating movement that goes
right.
to the side.
Actually bilateral. It happened in either direction.
So what was their provisional diagnosis?
Well, they were quite concerned that she might have even had a stroke or alternatively some sort of infection or viral illness.
But then the tests all proved negative.
Yeah, so she had tests including a cerebral CT scan and cerebral CT angiogram, some blood tests.
Oh God, they threw the works at her.
Yes, that's right. And these were all negative.
And then she got better.
Well, she stayed in hospital overnight and she was remarkably better the next morning.
And then the second woman comes in.
Yes.
This is a younger woman.
Yes, the next two patients were slightly younger and had no underlying medical problems. Their second patient, her predominant problem was being severely drowsy. She appeared to be almost mute, but what they did find that when they asked her a question, she would actually respond to the question, but sometimes up to minutes later, and the rest of the time she appeared to be staring into space. When she began to improve a little bit, she reported that she had felt vertiginous, dizzy and unsteady as well.
So what did you think was wrong with her, or what did they think? Because you weren't on call.
No,
what did the neurologists on call think?
By this stage, we had some more information. Just before the first patient left, she had mentioned that she'd eaten some sort of bitter chocolate that had been left behind by a patron at their workplace. And then the second patient also mentioned she'd eaten the same thing. They worked together. The second one liked it slightly better than the first one because she ate four pieces. The first one only ate one piece.
She had an abnormal EEG.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, her EEG had generally slow brain waves, which is a feature of what we call encephalopathy.
But she turned up something on her urine screen.
Well, because we'd already sent the first patient's urine to the lab, so the first one to actually have the urine tested was patient number one.
And it was positive
and
for
it was
cannabis, cannabinoid.
What they're actually testing for is either Delta-9 THC, which is the main active component of marijuana, or its metabolites.
How did they connect the two patients? Because, I mean, hundreds of patients come through the emergency department every day. It's obvious in retrospect to connect the two, but how do they connect them on the day?
Well, the main person in common seeing them was our neurology registrar, Dr. Kunchop. She was called to see both patients. Exactly, pattern recognition and like a cluster.
And then there was a third.
Yeah, and the third one actually arrived in the emergency department, overlapping it at the same time as number two.
First question, have you eaten any chocolate recently?
Exactly, yeah.
And she had.
Yes. And fortunately, the registrar was able to actually inspect a sample of what was brought in.
She didn't taste it.
No, of course not, but she photographed it. There was no original packaging. It was actually an assortment of things like balls of chocolate, but mixed in with that were squares of dark chocolate. And she noticed very astutely that each one had a different capital letter on the square of dark chocolate. So by a very rapid internet searching while the second two patients were still present, she managed to track down on the internet the exact brand of this block of chocolate.
And basically it was cannabis chocolate.
Not even cannabis per se, but purified THC. She even identified that each square of chocolate had 10 milligrams of THC in each square.
And so what does that mean compared to smoking a joint?
Well, it's hard to compare because it doesn't sound like very much compared with if you actually looked up what was in a joint, but it forms a very concentrated and toxic.
So there's nothing dilute about this.
Well, it's actually a double hit because the person absorbs it through the stomach. It absorbs more slowly, so it doesn't actually take effect for several hours, but you actually get the effect of the liver metabolite, 11-hydroxy-THC.
So just a bit of anatomy here. The blood supply from the stomach goes to the liver.
Exactly.
And then it gets chemically altered. And in this case, it doesn't get chemically destroyed. It gets chemically changed to an even more powerful compound.
Exactly. So you get the effects of the original compound and the metabolite. And that's why some people can be affected by it for up to 24 hours.
These women all got better.
Yep.
What do we take away from this?
Well, number one, we're not trying to pass any judgment on whether it's a good idea or not to eat leftovers. But these ladies were lucky. This is obviously a fairly new product to the market. And we did find out that it was made in a particular state of the US that has had legalization of recreational and medicinal cannabis since 2014. We've subsequently looked up the literature and identified that some of these states have had a fairly significant increase in adults and children being affected. And it's particularly severe in children. And the concern is that some of the products are particularly attractive to children. They're not only making chocolate, they're making lollipops, gummy bears and things like that in brightly coloured packaging.
And can it be more toxic in children?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there was a study published in November 2017 where there have been over 3,500 cases now of cannabis intoxication. Over half of those were directly related to so-called edibles, things like these products with THC in them, and nearly 20% of them actually had to spend time in the intensive care unit.
So be wary of edible cannabis.
Exactly.
Compounds.
Yes.
Penny, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Penny Spring, who's a consultant neurologist at Concord Hospital in Sydney. This has been The Health Report. I'm Norman Swan, and I hope you can join me next week.